There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
As sports keep coming back, so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline.ag. Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA are all in full swing, and there are no shortage of ways to get on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Also, tune in as Floyd Money Mayweather joins the BetOnline team in a new segment called The Ice is Right, where he talks about his expansive jewelry collection. He will give you the chance to win some great prizes and bet on the cost of his bling. Visit BetOnline.ag to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the welcome back sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. All right, guys, welcome to another Pit Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Harris, your host, sponsored by Manscaped, BetOnline, and of course, brought to you by Armchair Media, hashtag take a seat. Not much stuff going on as far as Pit this past week. There's some things that did happen. Aubrey Hill, the former wide receivers coach at Pitt, he was under Dave Wonstead. I think he was the first one of Dave Wonstead's first hires, I think, on the original staff that he had, and he passed away. I mean, he did a really good job with receivers, I believe, and at least what I thought. And then he left, and he bounced around, and he was at FIU, but he passed away at age 48, and God, I'm 41. Yep. Yeah. There's a lot of people I know that, I have several friends my age that passed away or died around my age, so, but yeah, still, I mean, he's just 48, man, and I'm not sure what it was. I mean, I'm not sure what the cause of death was, but I don't know. My condolences to his family, and I'll just leave it at that. Sports is back, as you all know. I mean, I've been watching the games. I just finished watching the Canucks and Blues go to overtime, and I like the Canucks. They kind of remind me of the Pavel Bure teams of the early '90s with Pavel Bure, Cliff Ronning, Jeff Courtnaw, Trevor Linden, Yurki Lume, Doug Lidster. Oh, I think they traded Lidster. I think for Mike Keane. I think he was one of the guys that left. That got shipped over there. And of course, Kirk McLean is their goaltender. You know, they had a really good series with the Rangers in 93-94. I always thought they would make it back, but they never did. And I think eventually Bure would end up, I think he would end up with the Florida Panthers, I believe, is where he ended up. I think he bounced around a bunch of teams, I believe. But he was one hell of a player. You know, that was early 90s NHL was just really good hockey. I mean, I remember watching, like I said, 1993 was my favorite season because there were so many 100-point scores and there were just so many superstars. I mean, Buffalo, you had Alexander McGillney and Pat LaFontaine, Dale Howardchuk. I mean, you had that line, and they were bad. They were pretty badass until McGillney got hurt. Boston, you had Cam Neely, Adam Oates, Joey Juneau. And I think they ended up getting rid of. I think they traded Juneau, I believe. But you know, of course, had you know they had Ray Bork, and Doug Sweeney, I believe, as their defenseman. Of course, you had the Penguins with Lemieux, Yager, Francis. Well, Francis wasn't on their line, but you know Lemieux, Yager, Stevens, Francis was on second line. Rick Tocchet. And of course, the Rangers, because they just got Mark Messier and, you know, Adam Graves, S.A. Tikkanen. You know, they had, you know, Rangers had some pretty, of course, Mike Gardner, too. He was a really fast skater. I mean, he was pretty quick. And of course, let's not forget the Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs, you had Doug Gilmore, you had Nikolai Borshevsky, Dave Andrychuk. I mean, it was a great time to be a hockey fan. I mean, there was just so much action, so many good games. I mean, that's when they were still on ESPN. Which here, you know, that which was great about tonight was you had on one station, you had Flyers playing the Canadiens. And then the other screen you had the Blackhawks and the Vegas Golden Knights on the other TV. So, I mean, you had hockey on two channels, which was great. And then, of course, you had hockey later that night. After that, you know, with the Blues and, you know, Canucks. Speaking of the Blues, you had, who'd they have back in the early 90s? They had Brett Hull, Craig Janey. Yep. Of course, they had Grant Fuhr as their goaltender, but and let's not forget the stars. You had Mike Modano. I can't forget. Was Neil Brunt on that team still, I think? I mean, you know, the stars were still, you know, pretty good group. But, you know, I do like the Canucks. I mean, if they can get past the Blues, I think they're a dangerous team. The Canadiens and Flyers, I mean, the Flyers are 2-1 in that series, but I think the Flyers can, if they can get through this series, they'll be fine. It's just they're being really tested right now they're playing a Canadiens team that has nothing to lose. They're really, you know, they have a great goaltender, and they're just, they're playing pretty, you know, they're just playing well right now. They're just giving team, you know, they gave the Penguins a hard time, they're giving the Flyers a hard time now. And then, of course, you had the Islanders who just, you know, they went through their series already. I mean, there's, so far, I mean, you know, there's been some good, great series. I mean, Stars and Flames has been pretty high scoring. The action's just really good. I mean, it's really good action so far. And flipping over to the NBA, I mean, there were some good games I watched. I mean, I watched the Lakers and the Nuggets the other night. And LeBron, initially, in the beginning, he looked old. I mean, he just looked aged, and he eventually got himself going. But the Nuggets coach, I liked what he did. I mean, he was playing everybody on it. He played everybody on his roster. Because I think in the end, it didn't really matter where his team ended up. It was for him, it was just getting his guys all back in the playing shape. And he wanted to see what he had. I mean, if he can find a mismatch somewhere, you know, if he can find something that's going to work to his advantage with one of his players, he's going to do it. And of course, you know, we got the big series everyone's talking about is Portland and the Lakers. Because you got Dame and Carmelo against LeBron and, you know, Anthony Davis. But don't forget about C.J. McCollum. He had a hell of a – that play-in game they had, he played a hell of a game. And when C.J. is on his – is on his mark. He's on his. He's he. You can't guard him. He's tough. But we'll see what happens in the series. I mean, there's some people are saying that you know, the Blazers played a bunch of cupcakes and they're probably gonna get worked by the Lakers. But up until Yusuf Nurkic got hurt last year, the Blazers were a dangerous team. Once he got hurt, they were done. But he's back now, so they're. I thought, you know, maybe Zion, you know, if the Pelicans could grab the AC, they would be dangerous. But they, I don't know, they just, I thought they would look better, you know, maybe with the, you know, with the layover and maybe Zion hits the gym more. But they just didn't look good at all. I mean, they sucked. But, I mean, they have a good enough roster. Their current roster now, I mean, if you give Zion another year, they're good enough to make the playoffs. I think they are. So we'll see what happens there. And, of course, we can't forget the Rockets. But the Rockets, they're fourth seed. They drew the fifth seed Thunder, which means they got to play Chris Paul in the Thunder. So James Harden and Mike Westbrook, and Westbrook's been dealing with some things. They're going to be going up against a pissed-off Chris Paul, and I just don't think it's going to work out too well for them. And on top of that, they have, you know, they're playing mostly guards. And I have a feeling that Steve Adams is going to have a big series in this one. I, you know, if Westbrook is 100%, I can't see Harden carrying this team past the Thunder. I just think that unless Austin Rivers and some of these other guys start shooting lights out, I just don't see them getting past the Thunder. I think that, you know, with Chris Paul and the Thunder, you know, the Thunder is not, they're not slouches either. I mean, they have some, with Chris Paul, they have, you know, they have a lot of, they have a good nucleus of good young players that really, they're really developed after Westbrook left. I mean, Chris Paul did a really good job in getting these guys together, and, you know, if I'm the Rockets, I'd really be a little bit worried about this matchup. I think if they would have drew the Jazz, it would work out better for them, but I think the Thunder is going to be kind of, you know, they're playing a team that has some chips on their shoulders. I don't think they're too mad at Russell Westbrook. I mean, the guy did what he could, and there was nothing there for him anymore. But I think the Thunder have recovered. I mean, they brought in a guy like Paul to develop these guys and work with them. And so I think, you know, the West is pretty much going to be a fun side of it. I mean, the other side, I mean, you got the Raptors. I had to pause it real quick because the toilet commode just started going off for no reason. I guess, I don't know, I guess whatever spirits room this place, I'm sure they had to use the toilet. I understand it. As far as the East goes, I mean, there was the Raptors, but I haven't really paid much attention to the East, to be quite honest. I'm sure the Celtics are a hell of a team this year. Oh, let's not forget about the Bucks, but I don't know. I mean, people love Giannis. He's a great player, but I don't know if he's a guy you want him. I don't think he's a guy you can count him closing on a series. I mean, he's a big guy. He drives to the hoop, but does he do anything else? I've never seen him, you know, hit a three. I mean, can he shoot threes? I mean, I don't know. But I think the Bucks will make a run, but I think they'll just, you know, at best are probably semifinals, Eastern Conference semifinals at best. I think it'll be probably, well, there's a Sixers still as well. There's, you know, luck for the Sixers, Kawhi Leonard is not in the East anymore, so they have a clear, you know, clear path. I think it's going to be probably a temp between them and the Celtics, I guess. But anyways, it's 2020. Pitt's still underway. ACC still going to go with their season. The Big Ten right now is dealing with teams pushing back now. Ohio State and Iowa, you know, went after the Big Ten. Now Penn State's jumped into the fray, and I'm sure Michigan's going to join in as well. People are pretty pissed off over this. You know, I don't know. I don't think the Big Ten should give in because of peer pressure. I don't think they should give in because people are mad at them and that they should listen to the parents and whatnot and the players. They shouldn't say, well, you know, if you guys want to play, just go. We're sorry. What the Big needs to do is they need to sit down and possibly have conversations with these programs and these players and these parents. And if they're going to reverse their decision, come up with a game plan of what they're how they're going to do this. You know, so all bases are covered. That's what's going to need to happen. One logical choice is not to have the season or postpone it. But these conferences want to do this, and if they're going to do it, I think they need to have they got to have a plan in place. They've had since March to do this, since when they canceled these spring games, and I don't know what the hell happened. I mean, I heard Scott Barnes ramble the other day about the Pac-12, I guess, postponing, and you know, he seemed dumbfounded, but you know, when he was busy letting Jamie Dixon leave for Pitt, he was so swift in bringing in his buddy to be the coach. But now there was a game plan needed to you know, look after the players and, or should I say student athletes? I'm sorry. And nothing was really done. I mean, no swift action. I mean, because they're quick to fire coaches and whatnot, and tell recruits or not recruits. I'm sorry. Student athletes where they can't transfer to, or they have to sit out or whatnot. They're quick on doing this stuff, but they couldn't come up with a game plan to figure this out in case they have a season. I don't get it. I don't know. But I'm sure the players want to play, but, you know, but there's got to be a game plan. There's got to be guidelines. Stuff has to be done. And let's hope it's being done. And let's hope we can put this behind us, hopefully. But we shall see. But I can tell you what you don't want to see, and that is a hairy nutsack. And that's why we got Manscaped. At Manscaped, we have cool things like the Lawnmower 3.0. It's an electric trimmer that's designed to give you the confidence boost for your body image. Got a ceramic blade and skin-safe technology designed to reduce nicks and tugs on your balls down below. It's waterproof. It comes with LED lights so you can manscape in the shower in the dark or a dark shower, whatever floats your boat. And, of course, they have the Shears Nail Kit, which means you can make your nails all prim and proper without having going to get a manicure, wherever the hell it is. And, of course, there's a crop preserver. So when you're done taking care of your balls, give them some nice moisturizer so, you know, they're feeling good and they're smelling good. So go to manscaped.com. Enter the promo code armchair. Get 20% off your purchase. And when you're done, go to betonline.ag. With all the sports all intact, all underway, BetOnline's got all the props, everything you need, futures, whatever. And check out Floyd Mayweather's new thing as well, where he talks about his bling and he gives you a chance to win some. Go to betonline.ag today. All right, now as the season, you know, for pinning our way, we look at, it's 2020, so let's do it in fives. I'm looking at, you know, going back, you know, these anniversaries. Let's see, 2000, you had Strike Force, which was John Terman, Latif Grimm, Antonio Bryant, with Kevin Barlow as your running back. That team was supposed to be, and of course they had a potent defense as well. I mean, you had Amir Purifoy, Ramon Walker, and a whole, they were a loaded team. And we finished 7-5 that season. We played at River Stadium and we should win more games. I mean, the Syracuse game, the Detroit News game, I have no idea why we lost that. We had a brain fart against North Carolina that year. I don't know how the hell we lost that one. I think the reason why is Julius Peppers was on that team, and he obviously had a monster game. There was the Iowa State game, which was the bowl game. I have no idea why we lost that one. I watched that. I mean, the game started off with a John Terman bomb to Antonio Bryant, and it was all downhill from there. Sage Rosenfels, you know, he got an NFL paycheck because of us. Virginia Tech, we injured, Mike Vick goes down injured. We still find a way to lose the game because we can't stop his backup quarterback. And Miami, well, they're just Miami, and of course we're always going to lose to them. And we lost that game pretty bad. But Pitt finished 7-5 overall, but the next, you know, that season in 2001 should have been two really good seasons. And I wonder, you know, the 2001 season is kind of like a what-if for me. What if Walt doesn't overthink himself and just freaking redesign the whole offense? What if he just keeps what was working? Do they win more games? Do they possibly win the Big East? Do they give Miami a better game than what was given? It's hard to say, but yeah. I think we would have definitely won a lot more games, and I think maybe recruiting gets a little bit saved. It gets a little better. I mean, by 2004, it reared its course. And, of course, we got tired of the whole West Coast. We got tired of the whole West Coast thing. And, well, we hired Dave Wannstedt in 2005. So we went from 2000 to 2005. So Dave comes in, and we got tired of the whole California crap. So we bring in Dave, who was going to bring in the blue-collar steel worker mentality back to Pitt football. Power running game with fierce blocking and, of course, a crushing defense. Well, we didn't see Dave's vision didn't really come until at least 2008. Well, 2007, you can pretty much say it actually started to come in because we had the defense had, you know, started to really come in. They got by the end of the season, they got faster and more physical. And of course, we had LeSean McCoy, but the problem is we had no quarterback. But, you know, Dave's vision came into effect in 2008. And of course, we couldn't beat Cincinnati that year, and then we couldn't beat Cincinnati next year either. So 2000, 2005, then we get to 2010. Despite, you know, what happened in 2009, Pitt was one of the favorites to win the Big East in 2010 because we had Tino Cinceri coming in, who was supposed to be highly touted. To this day, I have no idea why we thought he was highly touted. People thought this guy was the future, and I just never understood it. I don't know. But he was supposed to be the future, and, well, I think we made him the future because we never really gave him – we never had a – there was never a quarterback that was worth challenging him for position. We had Pat Bostic, but for some reason they just didn't want Pat Bostic challenging him for some reason. I don't know what it was, but we never had a quarterback that could challenge Tino Cinceri. Jesus Christ. We had nobody that could challenge Tino Cinceri for the starting position. I mean, there was Trey Anderson, wasn't there? But he came in with Todd Graham, I think. But yeah, that's what we had. So we started losing to Utah in overtime, and, well, it just went down from there. With the Big East on the line, we found a way to lose to UConn, where we just had a whole lot of problems that year. Dion Lewis had some ball control issues. I mean, Jordan Tallman would be basically, I mean, the defense basically dry humped him the whole game, and UConn won the Big East with just a running back. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. And then once that happened, Randy Edsall just couldn't get out of UConn fast enough because he knew it was the end of the road. And of course, you know, that was the year Dave got. What was that? Yeah, that was Dave got fired that year. Yeah, because we had the backyard brawl and it was a disaster. If you watch that game, the whole game was disastrous, and we beat Cincinnati as a consolation from last year, although Tony Pike was gone and most of the team was gone. Brian Kelly was gone, but we got revenge. It took a few years, but we got a revenge on Cincinnati. So Dave gets fired. The next year, Todd Graham comes in with High Octane, and he leaves. Went up with Paul Chris for a few years. 2015, brings in Pat Narduzzi. And that's when the positivity really came to the Pitt football program and things were looking up. That team, I believe, won 8 games that year. And, you know, the defense was breathing a little bit more fire because, well, they were blitzing more, they were more physical. And, of course, we had Tyler Boyd and a young James Conner. Actually, we missed James Conner that year because he was sick. But we had Quadri Olson, and he did the job. And now we're at 2020. And, of course, the gap between 2015 and 2020, we, you know, 2016, we had we beat Clemson and Penn State that year. 2017, we didn't make a bowl game a year. The next year, 2018, we won the Big East. I'm sorry, we won the ACC Coastal Division and play Clemson the championship game. And 2019, we should have, you know, we won our first bowl game, and now we're here 2020. So it's been from 2020 to from 2000 to 2020, it's been one hell of a ride these last 20 years. Anyways, let's hope as we go, as I'm counting by fives from 2020 to 2025. Let's hopefully we can make some more memories here. So we're at the 25-minute mark, and in the last podcast I talked about my IT stories, and I guess I'll talk about some more. This time, my IT stories goes to Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh of UPMC. I went from basically working at an engineering firm where basically we wore jeans pretty much and t-shirts to a more professional IT setting. And this is where, you know, And this is kind of where I got the more horrific reality of working in IT. Because, you know, when you're in IT, you think it's all a bunch of nerds fixing stuff and doing neat things. Well, there's also the guys in the suits and the shirts and ties that, you know, that ruin things for everybody else. You know, and yep, there's me bumping on their box. Excuse me. It's just, you know, and this is going to be a long one, so I guess I'll do part one of this. When I first got to CHP, I was a contractor, and of course I got hired on. What I didn't know is the guys there who were currently working there, well, they made a lot. When I got hired on full time from contract to hire, I was making more money than they were. And of course, let's just say there was a lot of disgruntled stuff. I mean, the guys who were assigned tickets knew that, and they would bombard me with tickets all the time, and they wouldn't really help a whole lot at all. I would get my queue down like the five tickets, and then I'd come in the next day, I'd have 25 tickets in my queue, and they were taking all the easy ones. I was working evenings, and I was getting, you know, it was bad. It was a lot of mutiny. I mean, morale was just bad, bad, bad. But one of my first office visits I had with a user, I went to her work on her machine, and she's sitting on her desk, and this loud noise escapes her. And she says, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry." And I realized that she farted in front of me. And I said, "Oh, it's okay. You know, me being mid-20s who farts on request in his privacy of his own home, I could have cared less." I was like, "Yeah, it's all right. Don't worry about it. You know, you know. She felt bad, and she gave me a, she went to the gift shop and she bought me a Pepsi, I guess, because she felt bad because, you know, she farted in front of me. I mean, I didn't care. It happens. I mean, whatever. I mean, I'm a guy. I fart. I should just rip one with her." And of course, you know, I bragged to my coworkers about when I came back, and which gave me some bad karma, because later that week I had my polo shirt was worn inside out. So I got, you know, whatever bad karma, it just came back to me. Now the dress code we had at Children's, it was shirt and tie, or you can wear the black children's polos. Well, we had at one point a new help desk desktop manager, and he was an alpha male. At one point, he was a nerd, but then he, you know, he worked his way up in the IT ranks. He started going to the gym. He got rid of his glasses. And he became a jock, which means he became a real insufferable asshole. And that's pretty much what happens a lot in IT. What happens a lot in IT? A lot of us work up into some of us, we work our way up. We make a lot of money. Then we start hitting the gym. We start wearing contacts. we become, you know, jocks, and of course we become complete total assholes, and we forget the whole why we got into the whole world of IT in the first place. We get more into office politics than we do actual IT work. And that was always the problem at places, in a lot of places where I work, is politics always got in the way of doing the actual job. It was always a pissing match of getting things done. And you had one group that thought they were better than the other group. So yeah, we had a manager who was alpha male, and every week somebody was on the chopping block. He wanted to write somebody up or fire somebody. He managed through fear. And I think at one time the guys in our group, they would play flag football on the weekends, so he would want to play with them. And he insisted on always playing quarterback, but the problem is he sucked as a quarterback. He couldn't, you know, he could throw the ball, but he wasn't accurate. He couldn't hit the back of a barn door. So one day they decided not to invite him for football. I guess they pretended they weren't going to play. Then they played. Well, he found out that they played without him, and he got mad. He wrote one of the guys up. He put him on a 60-day performance plan. That's how mad he was. I mean, that's pretty much, he basically would spend days going through email rings and basically attacking his coworkers. I mean, his workers through email. He did to me usually, and I would ignore him. I would just delete the email and just move on with my life, because I knew what he was trying to do is he was trying to get me to reply back and get a reaction from me, because he wanted something in documented form. And I knew what he was going to do. So if he had issues with me, I went to his office and talked to him face to face, and that was it. But yeah, he always name dropped every meeting we had. He had somebody who was the CIO or CEO of some big company, and he basically was Dalton from Roadhouse, in the form of IT. But eventually, when UPMC came in, they saw how full of shit he was, and he ended up leaving. But the IT manager before him, she wasn't really qualified to be an IT manager. She was a shift supervisor of some help desk. But sometimes when you hire people like that, I mean, some directors prefer people like that because they can mold them. And, you know, they're not going to be less combative. You know, if they're not, you know, they're less combative or not as qualified enough. She just never worked out. I mean, we migrated our IT infrastructure during this time. And rather than stick up for us like some managers do, she would lock herself basically in her office and cry. I mean, it was pretty bad. And eventually, you know, we all got tired of it. I mean, it became the Wild West in our tech room. But she went to security and became a better security officer. So that it worked out for her. But one thing I do remember is two guys getting into a wrestling match over running calls that happened. The guy tackled the one person. And then he went to the bathroom and started punching himself to say he was getting punched. So that happened. We had a doctor kill our network because he was downloading iTunes, like he was downloading a whole bunch of stuff on iTunes and crippled our network. And we shut his port off. And he rather than just realizing what he was doing and he couldn't do, he talked about all the kids he cares for, our lives he saved, and we were like, oh, that's nice that you do all that, but yeah, you're killing the bandwidth. You can't do that. But yeah, we had that. I had a user who was a heavy Mac user, and every day he came to my tech area telling me why we should switch all of our infrastructure to Mac. Because Windows just doesn't work, and Mac, or everything would be so good under a Mac. And it's like, oh, yeah, we can't do that. But, you know, it wasn't so much that that was like, I mean, my users for the most part weren't too bad. I would say, you know, other than the fart thing, the one thing that was most entertaining about going to work at Children's Hospital UPMC was the shuttle rides. Because we'd park at 2nd Avenue, that little lot, and we would take the shuttle up. And sometimes you'd have interesting conversations you'd hear on the shuttle. One girl, I think, because they would talk on their cell phones a lot. One woman was talking, I think it was a nurse. Yeah, it was a nurse. She was talking about her Thanksgiving plans all out loud for everybody to hear, for everyone to hear about what she was doing. And when she got off the shuttle, we were like, oh, wow, are we invited for Thanksgiving, too? And then on the way home, the one time, coming from UPMC back to the lot, I had to listen to some woman fight with her husband. I guess they were getting divorced, and I guess it was pretty bad. I mean, she was screaming at him, calling him an asshole and all kind of stuff, and said, ever since I had the baby, you've never wanted to fuck me. And I mean, this was on a UPMC shuttle, guys, with people on having to hear all this. I mean, yeah, that's pretty much what riding the UPMC shuttle was like. But yeah, it was always entertaining. I mean, getting stuff done sometimes was a task between working with UPMC, because if there was a, you know, if we had the UPMC devices on Children's, UPMC always bounced it back to us. And the pit IT was very easy to work with. They were pretty good people to work with. I mean, I never had any issues with Pitt. But I think one thing I enjoyed the most about, you know, being there, I think, was working in Oakland. And just, you know, being able to go for lunch and just go out to places. Of course, I gained a lot of weight during that time because, Jesus, I'd go out and I would go to Uncle Sam's at least once a week. I'd go to Five Guys and Jimmy John's. And after you turn 25, your metabolism starts to, you know, not be as good. And of course, you know, you're packing on pounds, and next thing you knew it. I mean, I did have one instance where a mobile cart, a computer cart, we were doing some maintenance on our computer carts, like, you know, that you see in those nursing floors. And well, one day, as I was working, I had three carts on the hallway, getting ready to take them back to their floors. Well, one disappeared. I had two at one point. So I'm sitting there and I'm running around looking for this cart, because I figure, you know what, the way things are with this economy, because it was like 2008, something's going to happen. I just envision somebody running down the street, taking a computer cart away. Well, when I came back from walking all around the hospital, on the street, looking around, I came back to my area. The cart was back, but then there was a bathroom across from our tech room where we worked at. It was closed when I left. It was open. Somebody took a computer cart with them in the bathroom, and they were on the computer while they were taking a shit. So I couldn't put that computer cart back on the nursing floor. I had to take it and go get it sanitized. But that's pretty much some of the things. I mean, I did see somebody did take a dump in the urinal one time. I witnessed that. I mean, I walked in the bathroom one time and I was like, and this is when smartphones started to really come out. And I was like, you know, I looked over at this other urinal and I say, oh, there's some crap in the urinal. And as I walked out, I had to walk back in, and like, there was, I mean, it wasn't just a, you know, crap. It was a log sticking out of the urinal. I was like, somebody took a dump in the urinal. And we always had chairs in our network closets. And I never understood why. It's because one of the network guys, he would go into one of the network closets and take a nap. And he had the right idea, because there were some days where I did it too, where if I was like sick or something, that was, you know, the medicine was just making me drowsy, I'd go find the nearest network closet and just rest my head for about 20 minutes. Yeah, those were some times. Anyways, guys, I'm going to end it here. Hail to Pitt. Enjoy your week.